Got an itch? Cough? Pain? The doctor is in. Dr. Michael Smith answers your questions. You can ask by emailing your question or going to the Healthy Talk page on RadioMD.com. Listen, learn, and live a better life. And send questions. Ask Dr. Mike Smith at RadioMD.com.
All right, so ask Dr. Mike. First question, is adrenal fatigue real? And that's all I have here. Is adrenal fatigue real? Well, yes, it's real. Let's talk about what it is, and maybe I can help. Because when people ask me this question, I tend to think that this is a skeptic asking the question. Because people who know that it's real and suffer some of its consequences don't ask these kind of questions. So I have a feeling this is coming from one of my listeners who might be a little skeptical about adrenal fatigue. I've talked about it before too, so I think maybe this is where it's coming from a previous show. So let's just talk about the adrenal gland first. The adrenal gland sits on top of the kidneys, right? So and this gland produces many different types of hormones, the steroid hormones, the adrenalines, cortisol. So it's not a very big organ on top of the kidney, but it does a lot of work. And it plays a big role in producing essentially what are stress response hormones. Hormones and neurotransmitters, by the way, are also included in this, where, you know, maybe you got to fight something. So the adrenal glands will release, you know, hormones that will help you deal with that, and neurotransmitters that will raise heart rate and blood pressure and stuff like that. And so it obviously is in a very important gland in the body. And when you have this idea, this concept, this issue of adrenal fatigue, all it means is that the adrenal glands aren't functioning at an optimal level. I mean, let's just think about this for a second. The heart doesn't always work at an optimal level. The liver doesn't always work at an optimal level. The brain, I know mine, doesn't always work at an optimal level. Our joints, I mean, I could go on and on and on. The ovaries, the testicles. If you want to be more gland specific, you know, the fact that people, doctors specifically, Western-based doctors, my colleagues, right, argue that there's no such thing as adrenal fatigue. It just is silly to me because any gland, any organ in the human body has the potential to dysfunction a little bit. Maybe the issue that my colleagues have is the word fatigue. Maybe that's the issue. Maybe we should just simply call it adrenal dysfunction. Maybe dysfunction sounds more medicinal or something, right? Maybe that will help. I don't know. So adrenal fatigue or adrenal dysfunction is simply just adrenal glands that aren't working as optimally as they should. And so what that means is because the adrenal glands are dealing with stress hormones and stress responses, if you're not going to respond to stress as well. I mean, think about this little gland that sits on top of the kidney. Day in and day out, it's trying to regulate your response to stress. And given today's culture, you know, I've talked about this before, the 24-hour information news cycle never stops. We're just bombarded with information, and we got hectic lives from the moment we get up to the moment we go to bed, and most of the time we can't even go to bed or sleep properly. And so, yeah, the adrenal glands take a hit here. They become desensitized in some cases to the stimulus, or they become oversensitized. Whatever the situation may be, it's adrenal fatigue, all it is an adrenal gland not functioning in an optimal way. For some people, it might be overstimulated. For others, it might be understimulated. I can tell you from a laboratory perspective, one of the hormones that the adrenal glands produce is cortisol. So we can look at cortisol in the blood and the urine. It's better to look at the urine. I can test it in the morning and I can test it in the evening. You're supposed to have a cortisol burst in the morning to get you up, get you moving. And then you're supposed to have another slight little bump of cortisol, a little burst in the evening. Then it should kind of flatten out for the rest of the night so you can go sleep. Well, people with adrenal fatigue, we've seen this. People who come in to Life Extension and they have symptoms of fatigue, their muscles ache, they just can't get up, they're having some mood instability, and you check their morning and, you know, afternoon cortisols, and in some cases, People are just dumping a bunch of cortisol into their system. In other cases, they're producing none. There's no bumps. So again, what is adrenal fatigue? It's an adrenal, it's a gland that is simply not functioning at an optimal level. And it does produce a lot of symptoms usually related to being tired and mood, you know, instabilities. You're simply just not responding to stress as well. So yeah, we do, you know, at Life Extension, we talk about adrenal support. And there's different ways that you can support the adrenal glands. You know, I usually start people off on the hormone DHEA. By giving people DHEA, it takes some of the pressure off of the adrenal gland from making DHEA. And so the adrenal gland can kind of go into a little healing phase, a little restoration phase, and that seems to help. You know, there's all sorts of other things. You know, I would encourage you maybe to go check out lifeextension.com and just search adrenal fatigue. We have all kinds of suggestions that might help. But I usually just start with DHEA. There are certain herbal remedies that hurt. There's the adaptogenic herbs that help, like ashwagandha, American ginseng, rhodiola. So there's a whole host of things that you can learn about it. But yeah, it's real. I mean, just like your joints can hurt, the adrenal gland can hurt. I mean, I don't understand why it's so hard for people to get that. Okay, so that was the first question. Number two, I'm supposed to answer these a little bit more short and sweet. That's what my producer, Sheldon Baker, wants me to do. But I just get talking and I can't help it, so too bad. Number two, this is a good one. Can people with autoimmune diseases take immune supplements? Oh, I like that question. Everybody's talking about immune supplements right now, not just because of Ebola, mostly because of cold and flu season, right? And it's absolutely important to talk about. You know, at Life Extension, we're a longevity company. We talk about boosting the immune system, which is extremely important, even just to longevity. Good question. Can somebody with autoimmune disorders boost the immune system? Well, the answer is yes and no. You have to be very careful. There are two basic types of cells in the immune system. You got some cells that activate to respond to a pathogen, and then you got other cells that calm everything down. And of course, I'm oversimplifying here, but in autoimmune disorders, the active ones are overactive. And the suppressing ones, those suppressor cells, are underactive. So there are supplements. Reishi, for instance, maybe it would help. Green tea has shown some help here. Other types of mushroom extracts. What you want to do with somebody with autoimmune disorders is you want to bring down the active cells and bring up those more suppressor cells. And there are combinations of herbs, mushrooms, and supplements that can do that. But you have to be careful because, without a doubt, most of the immune supplements we use are boosting the active cells. The, you know, B cells and antibody production, natural killer cells, T cells, the active T cells, and not the suppressor ones. So, yeah, you have to be careful and make sure you talk to your doctor or a naturopathic doctor or even Life Extension Health Advisors can help you out with that. But that's a great question. So the answer is yes and no. It depends on if the supplement is increasing those suppressor cells, because that's what you want with somebody with autoimmune disorders. All right, number three. I think I have some time here. No, I really don't. Does lap band surgery cure diabetes? That's a big question. Based on a New England Journal of Medicine article, I think just a couple months ago, it says, yes, it can. But I think that study was a little misleading because all of these people in this study, not only did they have the lap band surgery to lose weight, they also underwent some significant lifestyle changes. And so it's kind of hard to say. I think there's some confounding factors there. It might have been simply the lifestyle changes. As a matter of fact, we've seen some studies showing that simple lifestyle changes with people with type 2 diabetes can get off medications, drugs without surgery. So the answer, maybe, I don't know, but I do know eating the right foods can. All right, this is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.